All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Nobody Cares Anthony podcast. Let's dive right in, dude. What do you want to fucking talk about? I'll let you start.
What do you want to talk about? Today, I went to church for the first time in a long, long time.
Oh, so let's talk about religion. Perfect. Yeah.
I was just saying church. I haven't been to church in a while. Confirmed Catholic.
Okay.
But last night, watching college football, mom called me and goes, want to go to church with the kids tomorrow? Like, your wife's working. You want to go to church? I said, you know what? Sure. I do.
Nice.
So I put on some nice clothes, brought the kids to church, and they were little angels in church, and it felt good to be back.
A lot of standing and sitting?
Stand, sit. Everyone say the same thing like a cult, but it was great.
Everybody say the same thing like a cult.
Just like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still knew a lot of the words,
did
too.
You do, did you do communion?
Of course.
Did you let the priest put it in your mouth?
No, I do this thing. I do this thing. No. You think I go like this?
You do the hand?
Yeah.
Some people do that, but not me. Some people like...
But I don't
Some people tell the priest, put it in their mouth, and then some people don't, and the priest does it anyway.
It's true. The thing is like, they don't do peace anymore, like... Let her offer
each other. Oh, peace be with you because of COVID.
They only do this.
They do peace signs?
Yes. I was like, I don't...
No, dude, that's not the same peace be with you,
I turned to the
bro.
Guy behind me and went, peace with you, and stuck my hand out, and he was like, and he gave me like this
I used to hate the overzealous peace be with you people. It's like you do left, right, front, back,
yes,
and then peace be with you.
Correct.
I don't want you to reach across four people to peace be with you me. You know what correct. I mean? There's always that one guy he'll step out of the aisle and stop peace be with you and everybody, dude. It's like, all right, it's peace be with a couple people,
and
okay?
They had two money collections.
At two different times?
At the same time, that one guy went in a basket, emptied it, and we came back around again. I was like, you guys are really...
just in case we missed anything.
I want every dollar you got.
Yeah.
It's like, it used to be just one collection. Okay, this goes to the Archdiocese.
Right.
But now they say half goes somewhere else and half goes another place.
Well, some goes to the church itself, no?
Correct.
Or does it all go to like one fund and then that fund kicks back to them?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I would assume that's like the Archdiocese.
Or maybe they just like let it pile up for a couple weeks and go to Twin River and don't fucking tell all the nuns. You know what I mean? They just wear street clothes so nobody knows.
Jesus died at 33. Let's put everything on 33.
What church was it?
St. Patrick's in Falmouth Main Street.
Okay.
We went to St. Elizabeth over near in North Falmouth. There's supposed to be an 8:30 mass, so I was like, we'll go there, and it was just closed.
How was the priest? Did he say anything inspirational, or was he by the book the whole time? Did he go off cuff a little bit?
He went off and got a couple laughs, but...
Oh, he was shooting for laughs?
The priest was younger than me.
Oh, wow.
The priest was like 29. I was like, whoa.
Whoa, dude.
You don't usually see that.
What? Did he look like a serial killer?
He looked like a dude who... Probably his excuse for not getting any in high school is like, you know what? I'm going to commit to the Lord himself.
Wow.
It was like, okay.
But I feel like, I mean, a lot of priests start young, no?
Of course. Yeah, they do. Very young. But yeah, it just felt good to be back. Felt good to be back there. Especially made my mom happy for sure. Made my mom so happy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised Catholic. And then I think like around like 10th grade, like once my parents gave me the option to sort of, I did a couple midnight masses before Christmas to like make my father happy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once or twice I did that, but then that was it.
Are you confirmed? You have good
No, I never got confirmed. I told you, I think I talked about on the podcast, my CCD teacher, like it was required for everyone to do 10 hours of community service and I wasn't doing it. Oh, I didn't tell the story?
No.
So we were required to do 10 hours of community service, and I wasn't doing it. And, you know, every class. Virology, you started yet? Do you have any? I was like, no, I'll get it done. I'll figure something out. And then, you know, it was like almost the last class, and we needed the hours, and I had 0 out of 10. And he was like, all right, I'll tell you what, Varela. Meet me at the Vets Club this Sunday, you know, 10 a.m. I got an hour's worth of work for you, and I'll count it. I'll make it count as 10 hours.
Just been in
and
there.
I said, oh, sign me up, dude. That's my bread and butter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's fucking the easy way out. All right, let's do it. So I went and he brought me to like a back room and there was a full Easter Bunny costume laid out. And he goes, it was a breakfast of 250 people. So yeah, you're going to be the Easter Bunny today. And at first I was like, oh, because as outgoing as I am,
yeah.
I was like, I don't. But and then I thought about it, I was like, oh, I'm under a
nobody's
giant. It was like the big Easter bunny head. No one's going to know it's me. So they did tons of kids, right? So they did a, you know, somebody hopped on the microphone and was like, oh, no, guys. It's the moment you've all been waiting for, the Easter bunny. And I came out and it was like Gladiator. And I hopped. I hopped out of the back room. And I was, you know what I mean? I was doing little moves and stuff. And then I just started passing out candy. And then I saw my neighbor, the street I grew up on. And I went right up to his ear. And I was like, hey, Mr. Riggy, how you doing? He's like, Varela? Yeah. And so it was an hour's worth of work. But I still never got confirmed, dude. Yeah, I mean, 10th grade, the a couple weeks after... I finished 10th grade is when I got sent to the wilderness program.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Because we got confirmed in 10th grade, like probably the wintertime of 10th grade.
Yeah.
It might be different in different places.
A little hazy those times,
course,
you know?
Of course.
But, yeah, dude. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to knock religion or anything.
Of course not.
But, you know, because I wouldn't call myself a conspiracy theorist, but I'm like a real big common sense guy. You know what I mean? And there's some stuff that it's just like, all right, God and Jesus are real. Okay. And these churches are set up to like help spread the message of the Lord. And like thousands of priests have raped kids. I was like, there's something that doesn't add up.
Yeah, for sure.
That kind of ruined it for me.
For sure.
You know, I still see the benefits of believing and having a higher power and spirituality.
That's more or less what it is.
I think the lack of a religious element in people's lives today, whether it's spiritual, whether it's, you know, any type of religion you practice, is a big reason for, like, why we're kind of heading down the wrong path. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Every, you know, fucking 17 girls I went to high school with are selling their butthole online for $7.99. You know what I mean? So... yeah, dude,
it was good. It was a good day. That's all I can say. It was a good day. We did that. After that, the Patriots were on cause they were in England. So we watched the England 9 o'clock game.
Yeah.
I was with my dad, my uncle, my two kids, my mother.
Yeah.
And we were all hanging out. And then my wife got out of work. We carved pumpkins. It was a great day.
Yeah. It's tough for me to watch the Patriots. I mean, it's been tough since he left. Like
it's
when
hard.
He left, I was more excited to watch the Bucks. And now that he's gone, it's like, I know it sounds corny and it's like, you gotta, you know, wow, what a fair weather fan, but it's like, it's kind of like, you know, getting divorced after 20 years and then watching your girlfriend get fucked every Sunday. You know what I mean?
The crazy part is we saw him win his first Super Bowl. I was in fourth grade. You were in sixth grade. And then he left when we were in our late 20s, early 30s, which is insane.
Yeah.
That's how long we watched
him. Oh, my goodness. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I mean, I don't think anybody in the history of...
the NFL will do what he did.
Football got to experience what we experienced, dude. Some of the games, some of the comebacks. You
crazy.
Know what I mean?
Oh. But this is what I always said about the Patriots back then, is that every single game before that game or the week leading up to that game, in our heads, we said we're winning.
It was a shock when we lost. It was like a shock. It was either close,
yes,
or it was like, wow, that I cannot believe that just happened.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the only way. So every confidence going into every game with Tom was like, we're gonna win it. We have Tom Brady.
Right.
And then like once he left, it's like, oh, we're playing this team. We're good. Get smoked. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, watching your parents together, and it's like, all right, they kind of don't get along, but the marriage works. The family's doing great.
Uh-huh.
And then you start to, you know, the fighting kind of increases a little bit.
Yeah.
The noise spills to the kids. The kids are hearing more than they should.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they get divorced. You know what I mean? And then you're like, why was this family so close-knit? Was it mom or was it dad?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, yeah.
That's why a lot of that documentary was about.
But then enough time passes, and everyone can come together for a roast. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I know they said in the documentary that the reason that Robert Kraft chose Belichick over Brady was because that Super Bowl we won 13-3, and Belichick shut down the number one offense to 3 points. He goes, I have to go with Bill. I think I'll get more years out of him.
Yeah, I mean,
what can he do though? It's mind you, he had to retire sometime, you know. So whether it was with us 4 years after or when he did, like, you know.
Well, it just it's crazy, like, how bad we were immediately after he left.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's like, if you're that good for that long, yeah. You know what I mean? In a lot of the coaching staff stays, and you got some of the same beliefs, and then you got that one piece that you take. It's like Jenga, dude. Yeah. Tom was that Jenga piece. I don't touch that one. You touch that one, the whole thing's coming down. It's like, no, I think I can do it. I think I can remove this piece. You don't do it. Just leave the piece.
Just don't.
Leave the piece for a couple more moves, and so we can build the mountain a little bit
and
higher.
And then I'll get loose.
Nah, I'm going to go for this piece, and then the whole thing fucking falls.
Yep.
Yeah.
But like you said, we were so lucky to see 6 from them, 4 from the Red Sox, 2 from the Celtics, and 1 from the Bruins in our lifetime.
Yeah, and we're about to see like 7 in a row from the Celtics.
It's true, dude. We're lucky. Like, I feel bad that there's kids that grew up in certain places that have never seen their team win a championship, ever.
Yeah. I was thinking because opening night is Tuesday when they raise the banner.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the cost of the tickets. So I'm kind of bougie when it comes to Celtics games. It's like I can only sit a certain distance away from the court. We're not talking. You know what I mean? I'm not some millionaire. You know what I mean? But like, I can't sit too high up, or I'd rather just watch the game at home in balcony seats right now. Like, up in the rafters are like $500-$600 a piece.
Crazy.
It's like, holy shit.
Crazy.
And then it's like, do I want to drop? You get 2 tickets. You drop. If you want to sit in a like halfway decent section, 2 tickets together with taxes on Ticketmaster, you're paying $3,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's like, I have an experiment that I'm going to try because I've gone to enough Celtics games to feel like, you know, one, I'm going to talk about the experiment I'm going to try.
I know what you're going
to do. 2, I'm going to talk about a thing that I saw a couple of girls do one time at a Celtics game and they told me their secret. So what I'm going to try is I'm going to drive into Boston. I'm going to park. I'm going to be outside the Garden. Okay. And I'm going to be frivolously. Ferociously.
I have no idea. Continue.
You guys get it. Looking at the prices. Because what'll happen is, you know, right now, all right, I'm selling these tickets for $3,000 a piece. Nobody buys them. All right, I'll sell them for $1,500. Okay, I'll sell them for $1,000. Okay, I'll sell them for $900. You know, I could pick up like good seats.
Yes.
And then guess what? If I don't, I'll go watch it somewhere in the city. You know what I mean?
So fun.
What the girls did at the Celtics game that I saw is, you know, I was probably like second row.
Yep.
So not VIP, like not second row from the court. Like once you get into the loges, second row there.
Yep.
And these two girls were behind us. And they said that they buy balcony seats and then they like Photoshop over the numbers of row and this and that. And they sit in their balcony seats or sit by the snack bar or whatever and wait for the game to start and then go on Ticketmaster and see the best seats that didn't sell. And then they'll Photoshop right there real quick, boom, 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 cap cut or whatever, and then show their ticket to the people at the thing because there's no scanning when you go into your seat. And then they'll go sit.
That's a crazy move. Yeah,
they were like, we do it every game. They're like college girls from the city. We do it every game.
That's such a slick move.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really cool move.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about trying that move, but I want to try my move first, like the less like stingy move.
The real move, the non-illegal move, I guess you could say.
Right. We're going to try it.
But you're about to go to one of the craziest sporting events you'll ever go to.
No.
The LSU Bama's going to be the crazy.
Oh, college football. Yeah, even though Alabama lost, but still, LSU won.
And
I've been keeping tabs. I bought some LSU gear just to kind of fit in.
Think of this. How many fans do you think fit in the Garden during a game?
What is it, like?
Right around 20.
It's like 18,000 or something like that. Yeah.
How about Gillette?
Gillette is it 30-something? 38?
64. I was watching the Tennessee game the other night.
Yeah.
Tennessee Volunteers is 101,000.
What is LSU's?
It's something crazy like
All right, let's Google it.
Let's Google it. LSU.
LSU stadium capacity. 102,321. Let's fucking go.
You know,
the population of Brockton in a stadium, dude. That's crazy, buddy.
It's going to be insane.
Oh, yeah. We got like a professional like tailgate package and everything.
It's going to be insane, dude. Yeah. That many people in one place is so loud. When they erupt.
It's going to be my first ever college football game.
And mind you, my college football game I went to was UMass versus UNH at Gillette, and it was pretty filled, but nothing like that.
No. This is going to be, and plus insane. It's like two juggernauts.
Yes, Bama, LSU.
Especially if LSU stays with one loss up until that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, because even if Alabama's two losses puts them out of the playoff, they're still a really tough team. It's still fucking Alabama.
Correct.
And so that's going to be a big game, dude.
Huge.
That's going to be a big
game. The college playoff isn't like four teams anymore. It's like 8 or 10 teams are in the playoff now.
Yeah, I think if Alabama has two losses,
yeah,
depending on how everybody else does, I think exactly. They'd be out. I think there's eight teams with like that are
5-1.
There's a couple teams that are undefeated, and then a couple teams that have one loss.
It's true.
You have two, you're out. And if there's any team that they're gonna sneak into it with two losses, it's gonna be Alabama
for sure.
Even college though football, Saban's gone. It's not the same.
Belichick guy, huge Belichick guy.
Yeah.
Taught him. But other than that, what have you been up to last couple days? Anything crazy?
Not really. I mean, spent some time with my son, which is great. Couple mental health walks.
Good.
You know, I've been trying to hone in on this ADHD stuff. That's like my big problem. So it's there's a lot of things that I suck at, and there's a lot of things that I'm way better at than your average person.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to like really hone in on the stuff that I suck at and try to do things that'll help me not suck at them as much.
I get it. I get it.
Because it really puts like a... So that's been like my main focus. And then I've also been getting ready for launching new merch, because this time of year is when I sell like 80% of my
merch
because of the holidays. A lot of people buy them for gifts and stuff like that. And I had a lot of like issues this year with like, because I was, you know, doing it all myself. It was my first time doing it. Had family helping me out, was kept changing how we do it around to try to find a more fluid way. And, you know, it was difficult. And, you know, I've ironed out a lot of those wrinkles. And then I kind of know what I'm doing now. And so, I hired somebody to design some pretty cool stuff, changing like the material of the hoodies and shirts. So I'm really excited about that. So I'm getting prepped for that.
Any new designs?
Yeah, there's all new designs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We'll still have some of the old stuff on there, but all new designs. And I know, not the most interesting subject matter, but that's what I've been up to. Yeah,
that's
trying
cool.
to get prepped for that.
We can have it float right here when we say new designs. Just show a couple of them.
Well, I mean, the merch really, because I'm not like a brand deal-y type of
pusher,
dude, bro.
Merch,
you know
pusher,
what I mean?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
it's like, I almost want to do like the opposite of brand deals, where I like bring up products that suck.
Oh, I'd love
like
that.
Like, I do,
segment.
Like, I
love that.
I have a couple of those Prime drinks, and I'm like, how are you guys letting your kids buy this shitty drink? You know what I mean? It's like the milk of sports drinks. It's like, what are we doing? Why is this as thick as Sunny Delight, and it's supposed to hydrate me?
What was that sports drink
I feel
we
like
had?
It's like, give me blood clots, and it tastes like I stuck my tongue in the powder of Kool-Aid. You know what I mean?
It tastes like cleaner almost. It tastes like it would be like what a cleaner, like Fabuloso would taste like or something.
It tastes like you opened a Gatorade and then dropped it in a pool, and some of the pool water got in, but you picked it up quick enough where not all the Gatorade spilled out. So I thought about doing like the opposite of brand deals, reviewing products that suck and not making any money off of it. But also at the same time, because I'm not really a brand deal-y type of guy, and the podcast is kind of just getting off the ground, even though it's doing well, my biggest source of income is the merch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And luckily, you know, that did really well last year.
Yeah.
And I've been able to live off of that. So I'm really have my fingers crossed that it does well this year. And then if not, you know, I'll just be like, remember the guy that used to do the misspelled labels video? Is that him working at Market Basket?
That's like, there's so many people from growing up. You remember Shoe Nice?
No. No, I don't want to talk about people that were super relevant that aren't irrelevant anymore. I don't need to add to my stress level. They say that the shit that you worry about, the anxiety that you have, is like 85% of it will never happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, let me not worry about
it. But this is different, because this guy was famous before like social media were on phones. Shoe Nice was the guy with the really blue eyes who would drink.
Yeah, I mean, we could do this all day. It's like, oh, remember MC Hammer? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, dude. Yeah, we could do this all day. There's a lot. I'm trying not to think about.
I think that's a little different. I think didn't he get into the rocks for a little bit? Isn't that why MC Hammer kind of fell off?
No, he fell off because of his spending habits.
that happens.
Yeah, he just, you know what I mean, thought that the money was going to be flowing in like that forever. Yes. And then, you know, when his hits weren't really hitting as hard as they did when he first got popular, he didn't have the same flow coming in. It's like when I first started selling cars. I first started selling cars in spring leading up to summer is when I got put on the sales floor. And my checks were like, oh, this is great. And so I was spending money as if that's how my checks were always going to be. And then the winter came around and it was like, oh, fuck, dude. You know what I mean? I'm eating peanuts for dinner. Yes, you know what I mean?
True.
Just like half a tin of peanuts and tap water for dinner when I was eating fillets a couple weeks back, you know?
It's a real thing. A real thing.
Yeah, no, there's some stuff I wanted to talk. I wanted to talk about politics a little bit. I know it's like, okay, we started with religion.
Now we're going politics.
Now we're going to politics. What's another taboo thing you shouldn't talk about?
It's just religion and politics, I always thought.
There's one more I feel like we're missing. It's religion, politics, and...
race? I don't know.
No.
Like, I don't know.
Religion, politics... I'm Googling it. Our fans probably hate us. They scream at the fucking speakers. Like, it's this, Anthony! All right. Taboo topics. Is taboo the word? See, now I'm getting so deep, I'm questioning just Googling.
You should say three topics you should never talk about with your friends or something like that. Because that's...
Love spell check. Oh, I love the new AI. Mm. Personal finances.
Okay.
Sensitive health issues. Details about one's personal life. We're not doing good so far. Religion, politics, sexual orientation, explicit sexual details, gossip about others, offensive jokes, and discussions about death or suicide. So we should just call this podcast Taboo Topics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm not trying to like bring up the politics because it's such like
but a what's your thought on
polarizing
it?
Thing. No, it's just been drive me nuts lately because I feel like it dawned on me the other day where it was like, did I just reach the age where I start to care about politics? I don't need this in my life.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's cause like you figure out a lot of the stuff that you need to figure out in your 20s and, you know what I mean, your
correct.
Late teens and early 30s.
It's,
and then it hits you where it's like, I'm doing research about Paul. What am I doing, dude? I should go play Call of Duty. What the fuck is going on right now? But then what happens is because of the algorithms, you see one clip of politics, and then you're reading World War III in the comments, and then the next 47 videos are all politics. And so I'm a very... common sense type of guy.
Yep, like you said.
I like to look at things from every possible angle.
Got it.
And I feel like with politics, you gotta, and it's very difficult for a lot of people because I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
And some people even hide it and it's still difficult for them, but it's taking your emotions out of it.
Yes.
And so essentially it's like, all right, take away, you know, and the thing is anything that I even say, even by dancing around it and even talking about just like getting into politics and doing research and whatnot, somebody can like nitpick that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's like, well, you're going about it the wrong. It's like, holy shit, dude, let me just dip my toes in the water. But what I noticed is if you, it's like you take both of the candidates, right?
Yeah.
And you take out like personality traits that you don't like about them. You know what I mean? Because you're never gonna have a president that has personality traits that everybody likes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? There's always gonna be some aspect, whether it's your candidate that wins, there's gonna be, if you're being realistic, there's gonna be something about them that you don't like.
Yes.
Whether it's a certain policy, whether it's, you know, anything about them.
Yeah.
So if you take away like Trump being an asshole, you know what I mean? Or a womanizer, even though it's like, oh, he shouldn't be. But, like, just stay with me for a second. Or you take away, like, Kamala Harris's laugh, you know what I mean? And how it's she's re. Yeah, oh, that fucking laugh. Jesus Christ, I'd rather have Kamala here laughing than that. But, or you take away the fact that, like, she's clearly just, like, you know, reading off a teleprompter. It's like, can the 4 or 5 people that's in charge of her just step out and do an interview where it's like, can we just see everybody that's, who's writing this stuff? So if you take away, like, the little, the personality things, right? I kind of went off kilter there. But you take away the personality things and you just look at the policies that they want to implement or have implemented, whether it was when Trump was president or when Kamala was VP, you look at their career and stuff that they've been successful in and stuff that they haven't been so successful in. So more so Kamala with politics and before she got into politics, whatever she was into. Mm-hmm. And then Trump before he got into politics, like his business moves and stuff like that. But you're not even looking at the people, you're just looking at the accomplishments. You're looking at policies they've created or policies they want to implement. And then you try to look at it from multiple angles.
Yes.
And you try your best to leave your feelings out of it. And you do some critical thinking. And you sit and you decide, based on those factors, who you want to go with. Right? Yeah. And I feel like such a small percentage of people do that.
That's absolutely true.
And what's also frustrating is, you would think in today's times, with all the information that's readily available to us in so many different forms, whether it's television, whether it's this website, that website, social media, newspapers, it's information overload. We have more direct access to information than we ever have, and we'll have more tomorrow than we ever had yesterday. It's just going to keep trending in that direction. And my thing is, it's almost a curse, because there's too much information.
Yep.
And both sides can sound good. Both sides can sound like fucking idiots. And you can't. And it's so tough. It's like, is what I'm reading real?
That's
is what
the
I'm
question.
Reading true? You know what I mean? And then it's like everything. If you're on one side and you like this about that side, the other side can pick it apart and have a good argument.
Yeah.
But then the side that has it can also have a good argument. And it's like, what are we doing? And then it's like, all right, let's take a look at like what they're saying. All right, they're saying they wanna, they're gonna pass a bill that does this. And then you start to get into the bills. And it's like, what does that mean? Am I gonna read a bill? Have you ever read a fucking whole bill? How many pages is a bill? Bills are like 700 pages sometimes. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I wanna do, education reform. And then you read the fucking bill, and the first 2 pages are education reform, and the next 600 pages are talking about donating $17 billion to a squirrel farm in India. And it's like, all right, what was this bill really for? What you said it's for, or is it for the squirrel farm in India?
Correct.
And it's just so layered with lies, deceit, deception, and inconsistencies, and just telling people what they want to hear. And for somebody that, such as myself, that's trying to get into politics now, and really make an educated decision on which side I want to go with, it's very difficult to make a decision. You know what I mean? I am leaning a certain way, and I don't want to say because I don't want, 40% of my followers to not follow me anymore. But anyways, but still, it's one of those things where it shouldn't be this way.
No.
You know what I mean? Think about, the decisions we make that we really think about. I was in Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru today. And the level of thinking that I was like, what should I go with today? Am I doing glazed or chocolate glazed? You know what I mean? Should I do double espresso or triple espresso? You know what I mean?
Excuse me.
And I feel like I put more thought into my Dunkin' Donuts order this morning than some people do for who they're going to pick, who they're going to vote for. And, I'm not saying that's everybody. And it's just so frustrating, trying to get into it right now, and then what'll happen is just what I've said already. one side will be like, well, you have to look at this, this, and this. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, that makes sense. And then the other side will be like, well, actually, if you look at this, this, and that, and you're like, oh, all right, that makes sense too.
Yes.
But then it's like, then one side will lie, and then the other side will lie. Yes, and it's like, yes. Well, who's telling the truth more? Oh, it's been driving me nuts, dude. Because I think because of my ADHD and the way that, like, I look at things from such a strategic, you know, multi-leveled angle.
Yep.
It's been like, it's just been driving me nuts where it's like, I might just take a deep breath and go back to just not being involved in this.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the easiest way.
Because it's like, you know, what am I going to be a fucking activist? You know what I mean? Am I going to change my career path and go out and try to make a big difference?
Correct.
If I'm not going to do that, I'm just one vote, so I'm not going to let myself stress out so much about it.
But see, that's where... Do you know how the Electoral College works?
Yes, I know how the Electoral
College works. See, I understand what it is, but I don't know really exactly how it works. So I understand...
Well, essentially, each state
is a certain
has its
points.
Own number of electoral votes,
yeah.
Depending on the population.
Got it.
And so, for example,
Masters with 13.
Trump could smash Kamala in overall votes by millions, and Kamala could still win because she got the key states that, you know, outnumber Trump.
I knew that. I know that concept. Yeah, yeah. I know that, like, they're going to get more electoral college votes from Texas as they are to, like, Rhode Island. Of course, because the population's way bigger.
Right.
So I understand that. But, like...
What are you confused about?
It's just, I don't know where that number comes up. It's clearly what you just said.
We can Google it, but it just from like
percentage of population.
Using common sense, it would be, you know, percentage of population.
Because the bigger states have bigger numbers.
Right. And I don't think it's the size of the state. You know what I mean? It's how many people live in that state. Because how many does Alaska get? Alaska's fucking massive, but I can guarantee you
the population is a lot smaller.
New York gets more. Massachusetts gets more. Alaska
electoral college votes.
Electoral votes. Why don't I see Alaska on? Alaska has three. Yeah. So Alaska has three, and Connecticut has seven. So it's population. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, the size is nothing to do with it.
But see, that's where in our state, it always is. It's the swing states that matter. The states that could be either or.
Right.
Because there's certain states that you know are going to be blue, and certain states that you know are going to be red. It's the swing states where it's like. Your vote actually means something. We're here. Like, does your vote really mean something, or is it going to be blue no matter what in Massachusetts?
I mean, I think, you know, at least for the next number of X years, it's going to be blue.
And has been blue for years.
Forever, I think, since the history of fucking
Massachusetts.
Voting.
Yeah, it's been blue. So.
Yeah.
But you know what throws me off in my career with election time? People are scared. People are always scared during election time where... You have Republicans come in, they're like, yeah, I'm just starting my process. And you go, oh, when do you think your buying time is? After the election. Well, what's the difference? Well, you know, the Republican says if a Democrat gets in office, the country's going to be ruined. And then the Democrat will come in and say the same thing. I'm waiting till after the election because if a Republican comes in, the country's going to be ruined. It's like, so what are you doing here now? So why are you here talking to me now?
Right.
So you can run around the lot, show you a bunch of cars, and say, see you in the end of November.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And you notice it. Every 4 years, you're like, yep, election time. Here we go. Here comes the slow month. And it happens. And it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, it's just been kind of driving me nuts lately. Just trying to get a handle on it. And I just think it's nearly impossible to.
It really is.
You know
what
I mean? Because it's like you could have the smartest guy try to explain it to you. And then another really smart genius of a guy will come around and discredit what the
other
last
guy
genius
said.
Told
yes.
you. It's like, what the fuck?
And think of back in the day, back in the 70s, like, were they all watching the same news channel, all getting the same information?
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day about it where it's like, obviously it hasn't always been like this.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Unless there was like a war going on or something and like a draft happening, like young people really didn't give a fuck about politics until now because they've turned it into keeping up with the Kardashians or the Desperate Housewives of Alabama, whatever it is. Like they've turned it into reality television. So, you know, in the days of clips and you know what I mean? Cutting a speech short and only putting a little clip so you're not getting the full context.
Uh-huh.
There's so many things nowadays with they just make it so dramatic and so divisive that it we've shown as a society that that's what we love. That's why the news only shows fucking tornadoes and people getting kidnapped and murders. And
in the United States.
Yeah, that's why women, what do you think they watch on Netflix? Fucking true crime shit. They love it.
Every time.
And so, you know, reality TV, that took off like crazy. I think it started with what? What was the first reality TV? Survivor?
Probably.
And then since then, it's
Big Brother maybe before that?
Was Big Brother before Survivor? No.
Maybe around the same time.
Whatever. But that's what it's like now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, more people are interested in it, which is kind of good. But at the same time, the level of divisiveness between people because it's presented to us in this way kind of null and voids the fucking good side of it, if that makes any sense. But I just wanted to kind of get that off my chest. We don't have to fucking talk about politics this whole time. If you're listening, I hope that made sense.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It's like,
how can you argue with that?
Definitely did.
You can't argue with that.
No, on either side, you can't argue with that. But now they're going to be asking you questions about how you feel.
No, I mean, which I don't have to discuss. That's like, somebody saying, how much money did you make last year?
Exactly.
Like, I don't, especially with what I do. If I was just some schmuck that, like, my business or whatever couldn't be affected by whatever side I chose, and I'd believe me, I'd be yapping until you couldn't. But yeah, dude, it's one of those things where you know, there's stuff I don't like about both and then stuff I like about both.
Correct.
And yeah.
It's why like I said, like we said really quickly, it's like countries that have two people running and two parties are usually countries the size of Rhode Island. Like, why isn't there, like, four or five parties we can choose from where we can go, I like subject D more than subject A, B, C, and E. I want D because I like him, or now people just vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, I hate him, so I want her. Or I hate her, so I want him. Right. Oh, my mic's off. So his mic's off. Did it get unplugged?
Or is it my headphones? All right, it's good now.
It's back on.
Yeah, or it's like, I don't know, dude. I'm not fucking smart enough for this conversation.
No, you know what I mean? But like, the thing is, to be honest, to tell y'all, I don't give a shit about politics, okay? I like sports. I like stuff like that. I don't like politics.
But I think maybe this should be like, you should just take like five of the, you know, get a brainiac in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this should be like presidents of certain departments.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. And then like, I don't know. Because then I could say... you know, some way that I think that we should do it, and then I'm a fucking communist or something. So we're just going to fucking stay away from...
Well, dude...
That. I'm not smart enough for this conversation.
What's his name? Chris DiStefano, that comedian?
Chrissy D, yeah, follows me on TikTok.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So he was talking about something where his friend, close friend of his or whatever, talked to Obama the day he got out of office and Trump went in. And he was talking to him back and forth, and he goes, yeah, you know, there's like the binder of like 1,000 pages, and the president has access to the first 500. In the last 500, we can't see. The president can't see. So somebody other than the president knows what that 500 pages say, but the president of the United States can't see it.
Oh, yeah. It's,
so there's
it's,
like stuff.
Dude, don't even get me fucking started on conspiracy theories and all that stuff.
We could go down that rabbit hole. But again, so one of those conspiracy theories for the longest time was P. Diddy and all those celebrities. And it's looking pretty... pretty
yeah, you know, you remember that when they were they were talking about like the celebrities like drinking kids' blood and shit like that?
Yeah, that was the number one thing you said. You said there's no way Tom Hanks ever
they were coming at dude. I didn't like that the way they were coming at Tom Hanks. You think fucking Forrest Gump's drinking kids' blood, dude? I don't think so, dude. They were coming after him, and it's like, and now it's like, not to go back to politics, now you can't even have a favorite actor, because if your favorite actor is a Democrat, then people are going to flip out. If your favorite actor is a Republican, it's going to, they think that, like, because a certain actor is my favorite, that I side with them on their fucking politics. Or if an athlete's really outspoken about politics, but I like the fucking way he dunks a basketball, all of a sudden I align with his politics.
Exactly.
I don't, you know what I mean? That's the thing where it's like, that's, it shouldn't be like that anymore.
I know.
But I want to come to Tom Hanks' defense.
Yes, they came.
I remember they were like Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah, Bill Gates with the Epstein shit and drinking kids' blood. And
with Wilson. You know the story about the Wilson?
Tom Hanks?
Yeah, but the Wilson face is, again.
Don't talk about him like that, dude. Tom Hanks is one of the best actors of all time, right?
Absolutely.
And I think we need to stop fucking trying to see past certain things. Unless they're serial killers, their personal life, their opinions, stuff they do as long as it's legal outside of acting, that doesn't fucking shouldn't matter when you're trying to rate them as an actor.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And if you're just looking at acting in the movies they've been in, period, Tom Hanks, one of the best of all time.
Yeah,
it goes for me,
sure.
Tom Hanks, Denzel, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Denzel Washington.
Oh, he'll always be my guy. But
played so many good roles.
Yeah, once they brought Tom Hanks into that conspiracy, I was fucking fired up,
dude.
He's Woody. And then, because Forrest Gump's my favorite movie.
I know.
My biggest thing about Forrest Gump is when people try to trash Jenny. Because you don't know.
I'll say it again.
You don't know what she's been through, dude. Her dad used to do stuff to her. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like, you live with that type of shit and tell me you're not going to, you know.
Well, the two brothers just murdered their parents for the same thing. So clearly it's.
Yeah, did they though? Is that why?
Was it?
I think it is. I think that's. We already talked about that too.
Correct.
But I think, oh yeah, I think for sure they got.
Yeah.
They, you know, something bad was happening to them. And you know,
they
should be freed.
That's what they said.
Plus, it's like if they were acting weird since they've been locked up, you know what I mean? And you saw in interviews, like, all right, there's something off about
them. Yes.
They've been, like, the most model inmates you could possibly be. One of them has, like, 7 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, starting programs and helping people that have been victims of sexual abuse. It's like, all right, what's the goal here? You know what I mean? Like, whatever. But,
You got pissed. I knew you got pissed about the Tom Hanks one. That was the one.
That's my guy, dude.
I know. You're a huge movie buff, so I knew Tom Hanks.
What did I watch recently? So I watched Speak No Evil with James McAvoy.
Okay.
The guy from Split.
Yep. He's a really good actor.
He's so good. And so I don't want to, you know, if I'm going to do movie, you know, recommendations on here, I don't want to give too much away.
Yep.
Because if I'm taking a recommendation from somebody, I don't want them to do it. So I'm not going to do that to other people. But, yeah, it's labeled as a horror movie, and I'm not a huge horror movie person. It's not a horror movie. It's not like jump scary. It's not gory.
Yeah.
It makes you think. It's like more of like a thriller.
Dark thriller.
Yep. And James McAvoy plays.
Kills it. Really
good role for his abilities. And I was very happy with the movie. And then I watched last night. It's on HBO. It's with the kid from fucking Maze Runner.
Oh, my God. You got me into those Maze Runners.
We saw Maze Runner 2 in theaters together. New
I know.
Movie with kid from Maze Runner. No. Don't show me Maze Runner stuff.
Just do cast, click him, then go to movies. It'll be most recent.
No, I was going to say that's not his name, dude. Maze Runner. Wow, we're really fucking. I got to go to one movie because I don't know the guys. Dylan O'Brien. Yeah. Great. Hey, Dylan O'Brien. He's really good, dude. So the movie that I watched last night is called Caddo Lake.
Okay.
I've never quite seen a movie like this. It makes you think. The whole time you're kind of like, what happens next? What does this all mean?
Yep.
I'm one of those types of people where I try to guess the movie.
Of course you do.
In the beginning, I try to guess the movie in the end. In the middle, I try to guess the movie, certain scenes. Oh, this is going to happen next. Oh, she's going to drop that.
Yep.
I'm really good at picking up context clues.
Yes.
So it's one of those movies that at the end, you start piecing it together. It's one of those movies that you feel like you understood what you just watched, but you still Google it after.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
like, what did this really mean? And then you read about it. It had me on the edge of my seat. I wasn't on my phone the whole time, which is hard to do these days for a movie. So, I give that movie a solid 6.9.
Yeah.
And I like him. He is also in, what else is he in that I've seen? Let's see. Some of these that I haven't seen.
He was in a funny role somewhat recently.
Love and Monsters. I saw that. That was pretty good. He's been in a lot of stuff that I haven't seen. Maze Runner, of course.
Those are so good.
American Assassin, that was pretty good. Deepwater Horizon.
Oh, yep, I remember that.
The Internship.
Yep, okay. With
Okay, now we're going back to when he first started.
Before Maze Runner.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's... we're watching like a... You know what I mean? This is like Leo, dude. He's going to be doing it until he's, you know, old.
The thing with movies, though, that used to like piss me off, but I used to love it because you knew another movie was coming... It's like if a movie ended with like the main character like dying. So the main character's sitting there like this. And then it just slowly zooms and shows his hand and he goes. And then it cuts off.
Yeah.
Because then you're always like, oh, you saw that. Like,
I heard, you know what I want to see next? I heard Gladiator 2 was actually really good. I had mixed feelings about it because, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I feel like you should just let some movies die. Like some you can't. And Gladiator was one of those movies where it's like, oh, don't touch that.
Yeah.
Like, don't touch Step Brothers. Don't touch Gladiator. There's so many don't touch them. Like, don't make a Forrest Gump 2.
No.
You know what I mean? What else shouldn't they touch?
Another Shawshank, a remake of Shawshank.
Just keep it as it is. But what's the best sequel ever?
Best sequel ever? They say Emperor Strikes Back, Star Wars. They say
all right, Star Wars, Batman.
Yes. They say those are the best.
What's the best, like, unexpected sequel? Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, obviously, Batman's going to have a sequel. Obviously, comedy, Star Wars.
Comedy, Rush Hour 2, I thought was hilarious.
Okay.
It's funny. I think that, okay, so are you familiar with the Fridays, of course?
Yeah.
So I think the Friday after next, the Christmas one, was the best one.
Nothing was better than the original. The original was the best.
The original was OG, but I think Friday after next is better than next Friday.
All right, 100 best. I don't like the tomato meter.
Me neither, because it's wrong.
No, yeah, the tomato meat is they're bought and paid for.
Yep,
they are bought and paid for by the industry. I'll tell you that, or they're like woke, which is
okay
to a certain extent. Like I don't want my movie ranking website to have any political affiliation. I just want the facts. But you know what I mean?
I do.
So Star Trek, Mad Max 2, the ones
Fury
from
Road.
the '80s, but the more recent one. Which was sort of a prequel,
was
fucking really good. Harry Potter.
Of course.
But that's based off a book, so you knew the sequels were coming. Yep. Terminator 2.
Okay.
Okay, I'll give you that, even though...
Aren't there a million diehards?
Yeah. That movie, they were good, you know what I mean? And especially, you know, we're going to talk about our boy for a second that's not doing too hot.
I wish him and his family
all the best. Bruce Willis, dude.
For sure.
He's an icon, one of my favorites.
Didn't they say he's nonverbal?
Grew up on, he's been really struggling for a long time. The Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Twin Tower movies. Twin Tower movies. The fucking, why can't I think of it? The Frodo, Bilbo Baggins, dude. The
Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings. Jesus. Something, dude. I need to get a brain scan.
I don't know, dude. It's the second these things go on, dude, I just forget everything, dude. Because we could be sitting here and we'll remember.
Well, because we live in the age of Google, so I think it's doing something. Ooh, Paddington 2.
Okay.
I'll agree with that. Paddington 2. Have you seen Paddington?
No.
Dude, well, you have kids. They'd love Paddington. Yeah. It's ranked one of the best children's movies ever.
Really?
And as an adult, I'm not ashamed to say that I watched both 1 and 2 without a child present, and I still really liked them.
Without tears?
Oh, I got choked up.
Yeah,
you bet your bottom dollar I got choked up. Let's see. Godfather. What else, dude? I want to agree with Aliens.
I liked Men in Black 2. That's a very underrated one. I liked Men in Black 2.
Creed, all the Rocky movies.
But Men in Black,
I guess.
Men in Black 3. Josh Brolin.
Planet of the Apes.
Oh,
the Planet of the Apes series.
Crazy.
I did because the new one had just come out this year. So I rewatched all of them in chronological order.
So
I'm not mad at any of those.
So did Hannah.
All of those are. I'm very happy with the way that they did that. I'll tell you that for free. I got to stop saying that. Mission Impossible.
Yeah, those.
The original was like the first kind of thing of its kind. It was really good.
Actually, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, God. What are they at now?
11?
Yeah.
12? I don't know. Those are good ones. What do you think? You said Forrest Gump's your favorite movie of all time. what genre would you call it? You say, I know your explanation is it's technically every genre. Drama, comedy.
Forrest Gump is one of those movies where you cannot give it a genre.
No.
It's in a league of its own because it has comedy.
It has drama.
It has drama. It has action.
Romantic.
It has a love story.
Romance. Yeah.
You know?
It has everything.
I guess it doesn't have horror. It doesn't have any thriller elements.
Well, kind of the horror. I mean, the horror he went through in part of his life, I guess you could say. I mean, not.
Nah. No, that's not.
It's not like a horror movie but.
Right.
It's like,
that's. That's horror. Doesn't count. So
he did have a horrible life in the beginning, but it's not.
What do you mean?
In the beginning of his life?
That shaped him, dude.
It did. It did shape him, but
yeah,
it's
you
messed
gotta
up.
Go through the winter to get, you know what I mean, to the summertime, buddy. He had a tough life, but like his attitude about it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see him complain?
I don't think that was.
Did you ever see him go cry to his mom? Did you ever see him want to give up? Did you ever see him throughout the course of that movie not keep pushing forward?
Yeah, I know. I get it.
He did some incredible things in his life.
I get
dude.
It. I get it.
And sure. I said it on one of the episodes, dude, that scene where he's talking to Jenny's grave. Oh, my God.
It hits.
No, you know what else hits? When they bring him on, they're at the monument. They're in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And it's the huge crowd. And
yes.
They got the fucking whatever that's called there. The big, cool pond.
The Washington Monument, right?
Yeah, but the water's there.
Yeah, in front
so
of
you got the crowd around the water.
Yeah.
And then he goes up. The microphones get unplugged so you can't hear what he's saying. And he talks. And then they finally figure out the microphones.
Yeah.
And he cuts his speech. But then Jenny's like, holy shit, that's Forrest.
Yes.
And she comes running out.
Through the water, dressed like a hippie.
Through the water. And you see it.
Yes.
Tom Hanks is so good, dude, because he made you feel it. He made you.
Yes.
You didn't question, like, oh, look at Tom Hanks making this goofy voice. No, you didn't question it. You were like, this isn't Tom Hanks. This is Forrest Gump, dude. And you can't convince me otherwise. But when he ran down and they hugged, I got choked up there.
Yep.
You know, and then... Yeah, I love the scene where he jizzes his pants just from touching a titty. Remember that?
Yes.
And he lost his virginity to Jenny, and they had a child.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump Jr.
And a boy.
But when he went to the grave, and he talked about the way he views death, a little bit of what Lieutenant Dan said and a little bit what his mom said,
he
kind of mixed those two lessons together. And I think it's a little bit of both.
It's pretty crazy that you're going to an Alabama game and you're not going to buy an Alabama football Gump
no,
jersey.
No, I am not going to fucking Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
with the Forrest Gump jersey.
Surrounded by 100,000 people when I don't give a shit about either team. My first college football, it's like, oh, I love Forrest Gump, so I'm going to wear Alabama colors. No.
They make his jerseys. You can get an Alabama jersey that says 44 and Gump on the
back. Yes. And you can get the
Space Jam
Nikes.
Michael Jordan. I have those.
No. What does that have to do with...
You mean the Nike Cortez he wore?
Yes.
You should just wear that outfit then.
Oh, perfect. I'm so glad that you said Space Jam for no reason. That is a sequel they never should have made, dude.
Oh, my.
LeBron, get off his nuts, bro. Because that's the thing. That's why Jordan's the GOAT. Get off his nuts. Was Jordan ever on anyone else's nuts? No, he had his own nuts, dude.
Yes.
LeBron's, you know what I mean? He's the most dominant player. You know, his longevity is something to speak for. But, like, they should have never made a Space Jam 2. It was fucking horrible in comparison to Space Jam 1. And, of course, the younger generation, like my son, thinks the opposite. Yeah,
correct.
So, but,
but it's one of those things where...
And I know he's locked up, okay? And I know he did some terrible things. But the I Believe I Can Fly in the beginning of Space Jam.
Seal's locked up?
Seal, that's R. Kelly, you freaking crackhead. Are you kidding me? You thought I Believe I Can Fly with Seal this whole time?
No, I was thinking it was a different song because Seal sings, I Want to Fly Like an Eagle. Fly Like an Eagle is Seal.
That's Lenny Kravitz.
Seal sings a song in Space Jam, whether you like it or not.
Seal's the guy with the cottage cheese cheeks.
That's him.
Yeah.
What song does Seal sing from that? It's on my phone.
We're so bad at looking stuff up, dude.
Something.
This is going to become a theme.
I just wanted to give a movie recommendation.
Kiss from a Rose. Give it to me, Josh.
Kiss from a Rose, right. Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
Was a great movie.
Was it?
Really? A Sydney Sweeney movie?
She plays a
I may never...
Fly like an eagle seal, by the way.
Josh, I love you. I may never listen to a movie recommendation you have again. I got one, guys. All the stuff we're talking about, you don't chime in. Your I Got One, Guys, is a Sydney Sweeney movie. Is Immaculate... Did it come out in 2021?
Maybe last year. She plays a nun, and
hold on, I want to see the rating.
She plays a
on
nun
on IMDb. You might have your movie recommendation privileges revoked in a second. Sydney Sweeney. All right, movies she's been in. Immaculate. 5.8. All right. So my rule of thumb: if there's a movie that I've never seen,
don't trust the ratings. Those are all liberals.
IMDb. IMDb is very accurate. IMDb is very accurate. It's Rotten Tomatoes that's off, dude. You know what I mean? Like, Rotten Tomatoes is... And I don't want to sound racist, but a black guy makes a movie, it's getting a 9.9 every time. You know what I mean? Like, the only, like, 9.9s that should... You know what I mean? That were made that were, like, black films is Jordan Peele.
Dude, Get Out was so good, dude.
So good. One of the best movies I've ever seen, unlike anything I've ever seen before. Ever.
It was so good, dude. Get Out was so good.
So my rule of thumb is anything 7.0 and above that I haven't seen is considered a must watch.
Okay, this is a test.
Okay? Anything below a 5.5 is a don't bother. 5.5 to 7 is a I cannot find a 7 and above right now that I haven't seen, so I will settle with hopefully a 6.9, 6.8, 6.5. But recommending, like, of all the movies you could chime in with, of all the times, all the things we've talked about in the 12 episodes, Josh finally decides to interject. And he decides to interject with the movie recommendation starring Sydney Sweeney, who's only famous because she has perfect tits.
Yeah.
His movie got a 5.8.
Yeah.
His movie got a 5.8.
And I did mention
justify why
this
movie was good.
There's one scene. Okay, hold on. There's one scene where she's, like, being tortured because she plays a nun.
Yes.
I see why you like it.
She's naked. Okay. And her tits are, like, perfect, right? Okay. And I look to my girlfriend and I go, she's taking me out of it.
Yes.
Because
she's too hot.
She's too hot.
Yes.
I'm like, they couldn't have found someone but fucking
just a little bit.
Just normal looking.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, dude.
Tits just look perfect.
How about this? Here's a test. IMDb test. See if your theory works. Yeah, I know you've seen this movie, The Place Behind the Pines.
With Ryan Gosling?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's going to have a fucking excellent rating on IMDb.
Also, you guys were talking about Forrest Gump. There's a new Robert Zemeckis.
7.3.
You got it.
Robert who?
Robert Zemeckis, who's the guy who directed Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks.
What is it called?
It's called Here, and they use a CGI young Tom Hanks.
Yes.
And then all the way to him.
Is it out now?
It looks...
No, but the preview's out.
It previews so... Dude, it looks so good, dude. Where it's like it's a house from where they grew up in and raised their...
All right, shut up. I'm just going to watch it. I'm just going to watch it.
You going to watch the trailer?
All right, we'll watch
the
trailer.
No, we'll watch it right here.
Oh, dude, I've seen this and I was like, damn, this might get me choked up, dude.
Oh, it will.
Just bought a house with a family, dude.
I'll give you a Tom Hanks movie that'll get you choked up. I forget what it's called, but he has a small role in it. He dies in 9/11. He dies in the Twin Towers. And let's see this one. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Unbelievable. 6.9 on IMDb, which is right on the cusp and very accurate, if you ask me. But that was a absolute tearjerker.
What is it called?
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Another tearjerker that he's in is he has AIDS. Philadelphia.
Okay.
That's Tom Hanks and Denzel starring in a movie together. Forget about it. All right, let's watch this trailer.
Can you see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Dad. I'd like you to meet Margaret.
Nice to meet you, Margaret.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Young.
Time sure does fly, doesn't it?
Sure does. Take a step. straight to stronger course to the corner of your life. Make the white queen run so fast. She hasn't got time to make you.
Stop. Seen enough. Seen enough. I've seen enough. I already want to see it. My big thing with movies.
You've already said it. You
is
don't
if
like
you're dead set on watching a movie, especially if you're somebody that guesses and is good at guessing what's going to happen, why on earth would you watch a trailer?
Yeah,
it's not out yet.
Yeah.
What do you? But you know you're going to see it when it comes out.
No, it's going to throw it completely. You're gonna figure out the whole movie.
Yeah. I don't want to see it, dude.
I know, because I just figured out the whole
movie. I saw the trailer. I was like, I know exactly how
it's going. Yeah. I don't want to see it. I don't even want to know the premise. If I've already decided without looking at the premise, like, it's in my head, I am going to watch it.
You know what?
I don't want to know anything. Like, so many movies I've not seen previews.
I won't say it. Like, exactly what, but Josh, at the end of that clip.
I already don't like what you, just shut up. Talk to Josh after. Text him. You have his number. No.
That's all I'm going to say. Because he knows
it
what I'm
talking
about.
It already looks like a classic.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like,
Tom Hanks, dude. Of course. It's fucking Tom Hanks, dude.
I'll go. Last thing I went to the movies for was the other Jordan Poole movie, Us. The second one he made.
I saw that in theaters. I mean, it's going to be. And what was the third one he did?
Don't look up. There was a clip of it. Bodies. Nope. It's called Nope.
Nope. Yep. Yeah, but
Bodies.
But the first one he did.
Get Out.
Dude, that mine. As I liked, because here's the thing about movies. Okay, there's people that like movies.
Yes.
Okay, there's people that love movies. There's people that can't sit through a full movie. You know, there's people that will get up to go to the bathroom during a movie and you don't have to pause it. There's people that will go out, and I've gone to the movies with people that have got up to smoke a cigarette in the middle of a movie, which I literally looked at them and said, I'm never going to see a movie with you guys. I was embarrassed, even though the lights were off, and disgusted. Never looked at any of them the same. And what's funny is I don't talk to any of them today, and that's a big reason why. But what I was going to say is there's, you know, levels. Yes. Then there's movie people.
That's you.
There's the movie people are people that have such a love for movies and film, the nuances, the acting, the camera angles, every little
That's
thing
you.
About movies,
you,
the soundtrack, you know what I mean? I am a big, big, big movie person.
I think there's only one right answer for best soundtrack to a movie. I think there's only one right answer for best soundtrack to any movie. And it was to a Disney movie. And it was obviously an animation. And it was
Aladdin.
It was Phil Collins on Tarzan. Dude, killed every song.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, dude. Yeah, okay.
What?
A whole new world. A new fantastic point of view.
I thought you were gonna say Lion
King. No one to tell us no.
But that Tarzan movie, that Phil Collins soundtrack, people hated it at the time.
Yes.
But now people love it.
Love it.
One jump, head of the bread line. One swing, head of the sword. I steal only what I can't afford. That's everything. One leap, head of the lawman. One stride, that's no joke. These fools can't appreciate I'm broke.
I think I
gotta steal, eat, gotta eat the live. But no.
No,
you know what I was just gonna say when you said, I think the best, no, but let me tell you this, the best soundtrack I've ever.
No,
that's just my mimic voice, no matter who you are. You could have a deep ass voice and that would be my mimic voice. It's just distinguishing between my voice and me talking as you, so it's clear for the listener.
Okay.
But anyways, I hate that we have to have the best.
I know.
And we spend so much time on the best. Like I did it. I brought up Michael Jordan and LeBron James. There's so much the best talk. Why can't we just appreciate what is? Do you know what I mean? Like, why can't we just appreciate so many different movies and we have to have the stupid conversations of what's the best movie ever? What's the best sequel ever? Who's the best basketball player? Who's the best football player? Who's the best president?
Well, we know the answer to the best football player. That doesn't count.
It's Tom Brady. That's an easy one. Yeah, that's a stupid. Yeah. That's crazy.
Especially when Packy says it, I'm like, I'm gonna say no.
No, you're not gonna agree with it. I'm not gonna agree with it.
Oh, yeah. But Packy's takes on pop culture.
One of his One of his early TikToks or early maybe Snapchats before you were like went mega viral was you singing the Mulan song.
Because they came out with
the live action.
What was it?
Let's
get down to business and defeat the Huns. Yeah. I'll make a man out of you. That was great. Oh, Mulan, the original Mulan.
It's great.
Yeah, Disney killed it in those early years with all those hits. Dude.
I even had like a liking as a young kid. I loved the Mary Poppins movie.
Oh, you want to talk young kid movies? I mean, we're talking Indian in the Cupboard.
Yeah.
We're talking The Goonies, obviously.
Yep, of course.
We're talking Sandlot. We're talking Little Giants. We're talking Little Rascals.
Great, great.
And fun fact, I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast. Do you know Stymie from the Little Rascals?
Yes.
So he's a little black kid.
Yes.
He's like one of the main kids in the movie. I used to be his roommate.
Which is cool.
Yeah, we used to be roommates at a recovery house.
It's really cool.
And I remember when he lived at a different recovery house.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, "Yo, do you know Stymie from Little Rascals lives at Ba-Ba-Ba Recovery House?" And I was like, "Get the fuck out of town. There's no way, dude." And I went over, you know, just to meet him one day because I'm such a movie person. Yeah. And then he ended up living in my house.
So cool.
Great kid. Great guy. Flamboyantly gay. Flamboyantly gay. Like one of those, like,
yes,
he lets you know right away. And he was a great guy, good roommate, interesting to talk to him and get his perspective on what it was like to be a child actor, especially in a movie that big. And then I immediately went on his Facebook and was able to find the entire cast, and I sent them friend requests. So I found like Darla, I found all of them. None of them accepted my friend request, which is fine.
Hannah's dad used to call her, and her mother still calls her D because they used to think she looked just like Darla when she was a kid. So now they all call her Darla.
Yeah, that was I was more of a Little Giants over Little Rascals guy.
Little Giants was great with mind you, what's his name? The Little Giants coach? Guy from Shawnee, I Shrunk the Kids.
Guy from Shawnee, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah. You know, he got snuffed in New York.
People used to say I look like him. What's his name, dude?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, especially if I wear glasses, I look like him.
I just talked about this.
Oh, my God. We're so bad at this, dude.
Because someone, again, is screaming on the other line.
It's like monkey, monk. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Spaceballs.
Rick Moranis, dude. Yeah. People used to say I look like Rick Moranis, especially when I had hair.
Dude.
Yeah.
He got snuffed in New York.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see that video of him getting just snuffed?
Yeah, a lot of people were.
He's just getting randomly punched. Why Rick Moranis, though?
I don't know. Why Asians?
That's true.
Remember that?
That's true.
Well, like, remember, it was like, I think a couple months ago, women were just getting knocked out cold in New York City, dude. And it was like one guy.
Just cold clocking people. Yeah. Like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
That was a crazy, crazy thing.
Yeah, no, Rick Moranis, dude. He kind of just was like, nah, I want to be a family man. Respect.
Yeah, for sure.
Respect.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of big movies with the...
His wife died and he stopped acting altogether.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, that'll do it.
Yep. Because he had like huge movies with Spaceballs and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
He was hot in that time. And I think he was...
Little Shop of Horrors.
He was one of those actors that never reached his full potential.
Yes.
I think if he kept going... And as even though the 90s were such a horrible time for movies.
It was. It really was. But I liked the look of movies in the 90s. I liked that, not cheap looking, but like not as high def looking movies. I love those.
Well, the thing is during the present time, they were high def to us.
Of course.
Yeah. So
when they're on VHS.
Yeah, I remember Titanic coming in two VHSs, dude. Yeah. And the visuals on that, you were like, holy shit. And
right.
If you watch Titanic now, you're like, what the fuck is this, dude? Yeah.
Yes, I know. Leo, I mean,
and it's like, and people like to be like, oh, he dates 20-year-old women. It's like, all right, we're not talking about that.
Correct.
We're talking about his fucking acting.
Yes.
He's been doing it since he was in Days of Our Lives or something like that. He's been doing it since he was a child at a high, high, high level.
Yes.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape with Johnny Depp? Have you ever seen that?
What is it?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Great movie.
You need to broaden your horizon.
I think I've seen that.
What's Leonardo DiCaprio's best movie ever?
the like we said, the Titanic was great. The one with what's the one, the scary one with the island where
Shutter Island.
That was a really good one, because it was a different way of his What do you say?
The Revenant.
The Revenant was good. That's the only one that.
Yeah. Inception.
Well, how snubbed by the Academy is he? Because
if that's the only one he's ever won,
he's only won one Oscar
with the Revenant.
And Jaden Smith.
Jaden Pinkett Smith.
Jaden Smith, Will Smith's son.
Yeah.
Won an Oscar for his role in The Karate Kid when he was like 11 years old. And it took Leo like 25 years to win an Academy Award.
Which is crazy. There were so many.
They just don't like him.
Great Gatsby was great too.
I'm looking at
Inception.
His full,
Inception was one of his best roles.
Inception,
I think.
Yep. That was a really good one. But my, it was even crazier, like the star-studded cast of The Departed. Remember The Departed cast? Who was in that cast?
Departed, one of the best movies.
I saw The Departed when
not
I was...
Not just because I'm from Boston.
No, of course not. But I was like 12 or 13, so pretty young. We had a portable DVD player for the cars. And my parents go, here, just watch this movie. It's the only movie we got. And they'd never seen it yet. So I was like, okay, great. So I watched it. I was like, I know that guy. I know that guy too. Oh my God, I know all these people. And I literally got home and they said, did you like that movie? I said, that was so good. And they said, we should watch it. I said, let me watch it again. Then you can watch it. And they're like, we probably shouldn't let you watch that.
All right. Django.
Oh,
he wasn't really the star.
Django? Django?
He wasn't really the star.
Just Django.
Ooh. So I think my favorite Leo movie is a tie. Oh, Blood Diamond.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, my God. Blood Diamond was
it's a tie between Gangs of New York and Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can was so... Oh,
because, and then look at who he was with.
That's what I'm saying.
Tom Hanks,
bullshit.
And then look who he was with in Gangs of New York. Daniel Day-Lewis, Cameron Diaz, John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly. I forget that he's in that.
I know.
He was a dick.
Such a dick. So bad. That was a tough movie. You know what I really missed too? I missed that span of comedy movies we had from like 05.
The Judd Apatow era.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you can't fucking.
You can't
sneeze.
You can't do anything.
You can't
Vince
do
Vaughn
anything.
Said it in an interview. He's like, dude, people. I think writers are scared to get in trouble, so they're not writing things instead of just doing it and seeing what happens.
Right.
And because like that span of like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Superbad, Wedding Crashers, Step Brothers, Old School, like that whole like mix of all those guys, those movies were so funny, dude.
Right.
Quotes that we say to this day, like. Just,
well, I feel like nowadays. We just have to go somewhere else for our comedy. You know what I mean? Because I think like laughing is because that's a goal of a comedy movie, right? Is to laugh. Where it's not the best setting for a laugh.
If
you think about it.
I know you're right.
A 2-hour, you gotta tell a story. Even if you don't tell a story, there has to be some sort of direction with the plot. It's not really the best formula to laugh. And so it's easier to laugh in a small clip. It's easier to laugh, obviously, during a stand-up set. It's easier to laugh on a TV show because it's 30 minutes. You know what I mean? It's like some of the funniest shit you'll ever see is TV shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's just not like a breeding ground for laughter. So I think that coupled with the fact that you can't, you say anything controversial and your whole career's gone. It's like, you know, but I think we're slowly moving out of that.
I know. But the thing is,
Thank Shane Gillis for that. I remember, and I don't want to be, you know, on Shane Gillis's nuts too much because I give him a lot of praise as it is. But he was the first one to I noticed that was really pushing the envelope.
Yes.
And I feel like he'd push the envelope, even though he got fired from SNL. But, like, even after that, within the last couple of years, he pushed the envelope and then kind of, like, subconsciously maybe take a peek around, like, I had got away with that, and then keep it going.
Yes.
And then
and then
quickly other people joined in with him.
Yes.
Also, obviously, Dave Chappelle. But Dave Chappelle was more of, like, did it in like a Shakespearean way.
Yes.
When Shane Gillis would just be like fucking gay. You know what I mean? And like just.
This podcast is that exact thing where he's like, okay, like whatever. I'm not. And like they started putting disclaimers in the beginning like, this is just for comedy. I don't actually mean right. these things.
Yeah, there's a clip. There's a clip of one of my favorite comedians, Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, hilarious!
Where he's actually they actually brought him on a news station and they were grilling him about some jokes that comedians make, whether it's about rape, whether yes. it's about abortion, whether it's about 9/11, whether it's about religion. Yeah, not really. Whatever. No.
It's a great clip.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then yeah, fuck it, find it. Right. And then yeah, so if we're gonna find the clip, I don't need to fucking correct. Give you a play by play of
What I liked about Shane Gillis when he explained what comedy is, and this is like a great thing I like to say, is like he'll say something, someone be like, that's not funny. It's like that's not how comedy works.
Right. Yeah, he's gonna explain it.
Oh, is that
what you're about to say, he's gonna explain
really?
It. Yeah, but
so,
in a way cooler
next
way.
Next up on the oh. chopping block, XM Satellite Radio DJs, Opie and Anthony. They're under fire now for airing joking
yes,
comments about raping Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Will they be the next to go? Is radio cleaning house after the Imus debacle? With me now, New City President Sonia Osorio. She took part in a recent protest calling for radio stations to stop supporting negative language in music and talk radio, and also our favorite stand-up comic, Patrice O'Neal. Oh,
thank you, sir.
Patrice, are ONA next?
I hope not. I hope JV, I wish JV and Elvis didn't lose their job or Imus. It's funny, this is the thing. I don't know her, but I'm assuming that she has nothing to do with funny. So I'm gonna speak as the expert on funny. Funny people should just be left to trying to be funny.
What if they're not funny?
Then you made a mistake. But how many times has an unfunny, unfunny rape jokes lead to rape. Like,
I don't know how many jokes about rape there are.
There's a lot. But your world is not funny. Your world is next on the big story. My world is people trying to be funny.
Well, I mean, you think it's okay to try to make jokes about rape?
I'm diabetic. I make fun of that. I'm a victim. I might lose a toe. But I'm trying to make fun of it. I'm trying to make fun of anything I think I can make fun of.
Sonia?
You know, what's happening now is the marketplace
okay.
is deciding what's appropriate or what's not appropriate. I think the nation is just tired. There's a new mood in the nation.
What nation?
The nation. You know what? We're tired of things that
is
are just
the nation, this paper, and you? I'm not the nation. I'm just speaking for me and funny. You're speaking for the nation or are you speaking for...
Yeah, you know why? Because I remember 6 years ago doing a... something against Anthony Opie because they were just so outrageous and their violent images
to
that
you.
They put out to women was just uncalled for. And now, I think people...
You think they were trying to be funny?
I think now people in
Do
this
you
country
think they were trying to be
are
funny?
Tired. You know what? I don't care if they're trying to be funny.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me tell you
Why are you in that business?
I've been to your show once and it wasn't very funny being a woman.
It was
in your
hilarious.
Show, when you talked about...
That's why she doesn't like me. I was in the paper with her and the joke is hilarious, called The Angry Pirate. And the lady who wrote it in her outrage didn't even know what it meant. And anybody who read it laughed because they know what funny... You're not living in the context of funny. You're living
All
in the context of fire.
Have every right to be as funny as...
Oh, keep it going. No, he gets to a good point here.
Want, they can go out and try to be as funny as they want, make as much money being as funny as they want. This is what's happening. There is a change in this country. People are realizing they
it's
have an opportunity to speak out, and advertisers are listening.
You're
radio
not talking,
stations
you're
are
not
listening.
Talking,
Sonia,
you're not talking to who I talk
and
to.
And you're not going
to
get paid as much money anymore.
Sonia and Patrice,
That's
look
what
at
it
this.
Is. The marketplace
More
is
CBS
speaking.
Radio firings. They've been on a tear lately.
All right.
Are they cleaning house, or is this the PC cops run amok?
You know what it is, John. You know what it is while you're reading that paper. It's the PC cops run amok.
Well, you think
Who's
she's
the PC
cop?
Of course she is. She has an entire encyclopedia of her stance on it, but it's no passion involved. It's not.
I mean, he gets. I encourage you guys to go look at the rest of the clip. There's like another 4 minutes on it, but he gets to a point where he kind of brings it all together, and he talks about where the joke is coming from.
Yes.
A funny joke and an unfunny joke both come from the same place. You don't know if a joke is going to be funny until you tell it.
Exactly.
So you have to be really careful with controversial jokes because if they don't land, you're not funny and you kind of look like an asshole.
Yes.
But if you say a controversial or gross or whatever joke... and it is funny, you did your job. You know what I mean? Exactly. Where they're all coming from the same place. And, yeah, I mean, I could understand why some people might get triggered and offended. You know what I mean? I could never tell somebody, don't be offended. Yes. You know what I mean? Don't be triggered. But you being offended and you being triggered shouldn't have any effect on what I'm able to do.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
And that's like I was just going to say, I was like, you can't tell me what's not funny and I can't tell you what's not funny. Because what's funny to me is different than what's funny to you.
Right.
So that's what comedy is. There might be a joke that someone could be on the floor rolling laughing. You could just go, huh? You know, like it's just, that's the way comedy is. Comedy is what's funny to you.
Right. Like, for example, you know, you might see somebody walking down the street and trip and fall.
Hilarious.
I would be in tears. Yes. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life have been people accidentally falling. As long as they're not seriously injured, whether I'm, you know, on the ski slopes or one time I saw a guy coming out of a pizza place, Primetime Pizza in East Falmouth, and he like stepped off the sidewalk but didn't realize that there was a drop and it took him 20 seconds to fall and he was trying to balance the pizza, but eventually the pizza fell and he fell. And I never, one of those laughs where like your lungs go into your asshole, you know what I mean? Yeah, but then there are some people that don't think that's funny at all and would immediately run to go help that person up. Where I will laugh, and if there's no one else around to help them up, I'll go help them up. But yeah, some people think shit's funny. Some people don't think shit's funny.
I think people getting scared is hilarious. Montages of people getting scared.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I don't like are people that rely too heavily on the shock jokes.
Jump scares.
Where it's like, on like stand-ups in particular, where they rely too heavily on super controversial, dark jokes, where it's like, all right, where's the funny in other areas? So it's okay to be primarily that, but if that's all you're bringing to the table is like, let me be as controversial as possible. Every joke that I tell, it's like, all right.
It gets old.
Yeah.
Tell a funny story.
But again, there's some people that
love that.
Love that. And it's all coming from the same place. All right, I think we did good. We're gonna wrap this episode up, and we're gonna move on to the Patreon version of this episode. If you would like to subscribe to the Patreon version of this episode, just go to any of my social medias, click the link in the bio. It'll bring you to my website, which is nobodycaresanthonyofficial.com, and click on the link for the Patreon. You can subscribe for as little as $5 a month and get all the bonus content. And that community is growing, and so is the podcast, and we're excited. And, until next time, and for those of you that are subscribed to the Patreon, we're taking a short break, and we'll be right back.
Love y'all.